Thousands of years have gone by since Adam and Eve's first sin, when God gave them a promise of a Savior who would win. Words from the Baby King, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas arch book. The Baby King would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Baby King.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
It's amazing in the book of Acts how the author seems to know what the subjects, the characters in the narrative, learn only very, very slowly. That this word of the gospel, this word that the Holy Spirit is spreading out from Jerusalem into the world, is eventually going to go to the whole world, to the Gentile world. Now, this takes some time for the early church to learn. They learn it by fits and starts. They debate it. They draw conclusions. They, even the chief among them, like Peter, needs a vision to convince him that he can even go into a Gentile's house to preach the gospel. And then there are those occasions where all of a sudden, out of the blue, driving by, there is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit, who's been at work in a heart, to finally complete his work through a faithful preacher and through baptism. We're going to be talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, that famous encounter that ends in baptism in Acts chapter 8, as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker. He's a regular guest and host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
So what do we learn from this encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch about what the Holy Spirit is doing and how he is working?
This is quite fascinating to me, that the Ethiopian was not ignorant of the Bible. In fact, he was probably pretty wealthy because he had a scroll of the scriptures and was reading it. But notice, though he was reading the Bible, he did not understand what it meant. And I think this is a critical understanding of how the Holy Spirit works, is that one needs to be taught the meaning of the Bible by those who have been instructed in its doctrine, namely pastors, or in this case, of course, it was Philip. So I just did this not that long ago with a Bible study, where I began by saying, no, you can read a lot in the Bible and not recognize the tremendous insights that are therein just by reading the English. You really need a pastor trained in the Hebrew and the Greek, as well as the culture of that day, so you don't end up having an interpretation that is contrary to the meaning of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is a critical text to help people understand that reading the Bible alone at home is not sufficient for a proper understanding of the scripture. You need to get involved with the church, with the divine service, because in the divine service, even though the readings are read, in the sermon, the pastor is about the task of explaining, clarifying that which was secret for many ages to that which is now revealed. The other point I would want to make is that when Philip begins to explain to the Ethiopian the meaning of that Isaiah 53 passage, even though the text is not that clear as to whom is being spoken of, Philip immediately goes to the proper conclusion that it's talking about Jesus. And so that's the other thing. I often would lead my Sunday school teachers in rehearsal of the lesson each time, and I told them, until you can find Jesus in the text, then you do not understand why the Holy Spirit had the prophets and apostles inspire that passage to be put into the Bible. Jesus is not only the reason for the season this Christmas, he is also the meaning of every passage taken in its context. And that's what, of course, we have with the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip explaining the meaning of how this refers to Jesus.
So tell us a story in its simplest form of how these two men encounter each other and eventually one of them is brought to faith.
Yes. It says an angel of the Lord said to Philip, so maybe a vision or whatever, that he was to rise and go toward the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, Gaza is almost an inhabited area, but it reminds us of Jesus' own words to the 11 apostles, where he told them that first the gospel was to be preached in Jerusalem, and that was on Pentecost, then Samaria, and that was through the work of Philip. And Philip went all the way to Gaza. Gaza is the end of the earth because it's near the Mediterranean. So what we have here is actually a fulfillment of a promise from Jesus himself. And when he goes there, even the Bible says, and this is verse 26, this is a desert place. And there was an Ethiopian, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was also in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, how can an Ethiopian be coming to Jerusalem to worship? Well, if you'll remember, at the time of the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were spread throughout the world. And we do know that there were those who became what are called proselytes, or Gentiles who became believers in the Israeli faith. And therefore, it doesn't surprise us to find an Ethiopian going to Jerusalem for one of the festivals, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, the Spirit says to Philip to go and join this chariot. And so Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. You see, people would read out loud when they had such a scroll. And his first question, you know, it's really good because it's the question Martin Luther had after each of the commandments and the other parts of the catechism. What does this mean? The way he put it is, do you understand what you are reading? And then the Ethiopian says something that hopefully the Spirit moved him to say, how can I unless someone guides me? And that is the purpose of every pastor and teacher in the Holy Christian Church, to guide people into the proper meaning and insights of the words that they are reading in Holy Scripture. I just did a Bible study where we went over a very simple passage, which just about everybody had the wrong understanding because of an improper confusion of law and gospel. And when I gave the clear understanding, nobody disagreed with me. But they were unable to get to that clear understanding, partly because they didn't know the original languages, and they also didn't know the culture of that day. That's why it's so important to support our seminaries in training proper pastors who are to go out to clarify the meaning of the Scripture on the basis of Scripture. They don't use their own interpretation. As I've said on my radio program, and you have the same kind of feeling I have here, if we ever say something and we are unable to back it up with the Scripture, then turn the station. We are false teachers. Now, Philip was not a false teacher, and the Ethiopian, well, he was really glad to hear what Philip had to say.
The passage that he's actually looking at is, like you said, it's a passage that's perfect for the opportunity to preach the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Is that also the Holy Spirit guiding the hand or the eye of the eunuch to this passage?
I would believe so, because the passage is not clear that it's talking about Jesus, simply because the name Jesus was given by the angel to Mary years later. And all it says is, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. Now, that doesn't make any sense if you don't have a larger understanding, not only of the New Testament, but also of the Old Testament. You can show that this is talking about the Messiah, because in Genesis 3, God already tells through the serpent to Adam and Eve that a Messiah is coming through the seed of Eve. He promises it to Abraham. It's going to be of the house of David. The prophets all talk about him. And then in Isaiah 53, the other passage, that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So you don't even really need to know the New Testament. In fact, on my program today, I showed how every Old Testament passages in all three services, the Sunday after Christmas, Christmas Day, and the fourth Sunday of Advent, all the Old Testaments are filled with the gospel referring to Jesus Christ. But it is not obvious until the people who are reading it hear it and are taught by teachers sent by the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. When we come back, what is the answer to the question? He says he preaches the good news about Jesus. That's a very simple summary. What did the Ethiopian eunuch hear from Philip?
This is a strategic retreat. It's not leaving the battlefield completely, but it's going to where we can rebuild ourselves for the long war ahead. It's a retreat no more than the British Army retreated at Dunkirk.
Rod Dreher speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And the England I speak of, the metaphorical England, are our churches and our communities, which are not completely safe any more than England was safe. Thank God for the Royal Air Force. But it's relative safety. It's where we can do the hard work we need to do, not only to survive the current moment, the current crisis, but to prepare to take the battle to the enemy when the opportunities present itself.
You can listen to Rod Dreher's presentation, Making the Case for the Benedict Option, on an audio DVD of the 2017 Making the Case Conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300. Just click the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, we are teaching a Sunday school lesson, Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch, in Acts chapter 8. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Tom, the passage is, at least from the New Testament perspective, a direct reference to Christ's suffering and his crucifixion. We are not told specifically what Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch. It simply says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with this scripture, told him the good news about Jesus." The next thing the eunuch wants to know about is whether or not he can be baptized. So can we surmise, in a general sense, what Philip had to say to this man?
First of all, Philip explains what the text is referring to, namely the sufferings of Jesus, his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead. Now, I can't but believe this Ethiopian already is in conversation with Philip. The first question he would ask is, well, how can those gifts come to me? And I'm sure Philip then would have said something that the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In other words, the Ethiopian wants to know, how do I get these gifts? And the sacrament of baptism is very clear. In fact, if we remember the Pentecost sermon, here's what Peter said when people, what can we do? Be baptized and you will receive two gifts, the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, I can't remember a time, Todd, where I was ever doing adult instruction class and we got to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ from the dead that because of a question from someone, we didn't go right into baptism because it's an obvious question. How do I get on that cross with Jesus? How do I, with Jesus, get buried in the grave with him so that I too will rise? And the answer is the holy sacrament of baptism. It's a wonderful teaching here, and it would be an opportunity for the Sunday school teachers to talk a lot more about what baptism truly is. And they can find that, of course, once more in Luther's What Does This Mean? When he talks about baptism gives us a whole new life, a life of daily dying to sin and daily rising to new life in Christ Jesus. So you can't talk about any passage in the Old or New Testament without mentioning Jesus. And then the questions will come, but what does this mean for me? And the gospel, it says the means of grace, that is the means by which God becomes gracious to you in forgiving your sins, is through hearing the word, that's Romans 10, being baptized, that's Romans 6, and receiving the miraculous body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper, that's 1 Corinthians 11. And those are just a few of the passages. So it does not surprise me that after Philip is finished talking with the Ethiopian and he sees water, he says, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, when I did adult confirmation, we normally do not confirm or give the Lord's Supper to someone until after they are confirmed. But many a time, halfway through the adult instruction, the adults would ask if they could have their children baptized. And there was nothing stopping them from being baptized. Because unlike the Lord's Supper that takes knowledge and a repentance, baptism needs nothing, necessitates nothing on our part. And that's why we baptize even infants.
So is this also a clear passage demonstrating that the Holy Spirit is laying the groundwork, albeit through the Word? This man, as you said at the beginning of our conversation, has a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. How he's come by it, we do not know, but that the Holy Spirit is already laying the groundwork through his Word for Christ to be preached to all nations.
Yes, the Growing in Christ, which is the booklet we're following many times, has a illustration I never heard before, but I think it's great. It says, you know, you can touch the skin of another person, but by touching their skin, maybe when you shake their hands, you do not know that the skin is kept alive by the blood pulsing through the human body. And they use that illustration to show that likewise, the Ethiopian could read the words of Holy Scripture. He could see and touch the skin of the Bible, but he needed someone to explain precisely what it was he was reading. I like talking about when you go to a doctor, you have some pain. You don't know what it is. You need a doctor to explain what the pain is coming from in order that you get the proper treatment. And that's what the Holy Spirit used Philip for, in giving the Ethiopian the proper treatment in the understanding of the text. And I can't but believe that the Holy Spirit didn't have that Ethiopian prepared, because remember, he sent Philip there. And then, by the way, at the end of their conversation, what happened was that Philip just kind of disappeared. In fact, the word that is used for that disappearing is the same word used when Paul talks about being caught up in the third heaven and having a vision of heaven. In other words, it's a supernatural experience. And only the Holy Spirit would have done something like that, taking Philip from Gaza to Azotus, where he continued proclaiming Christ Jesus, all the way to the south to Caesarea, which is the north of Palestine. That's how the Holy Spirit fulfills the promise of Jesus, that the gospel begins in Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth.
Finally, what is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children as they look at this account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8?
I would use this analogy with the children. How did you decide to become a child of your parents? And they would look at you and say, I didn't make that decision. I was either born or adopted. And I said, yes, it was a decision of your parents. So also, the law is clear. There is nothing we can do, say, or think that will make us a child of God. God does it all. He's the one who grants me faith through his word and sacrament. And so, therefore, in that faith, I trust Jesus as my Savior. The Ethiopian did nothing to prepare himself for the hearing of the message, but the Holy Spirit granted him faith not only to believe that message, but to get really excited about being baptized, and he was joyful.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Learn more about it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be looking forward to the fourth Sunday of Advent that happens to fall on Christmas Eve. It's one of those rare occurrences. We'll be talking with Dr. Carl Fakencher about the birth of Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is always out ahead of the church, but never out ahead of the Word. The Word is out there in places that seem rather unchurchly, like a chariot headed down to Ethiopia, carried by a eunuch who had no other exposure that we know of to God's word except this scroll of the prophet Isaiah, who had written these things hundreds of years before. And the Holy Spirit had prepared that for him so that he might hear from Philip's mouth the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves him and all of us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.